Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Red clover, bitter cress, fat hen. These plants were once the hallmark of a badly tended garden, but they're now flourishing in back gardens across the country because we're trying to create our own meadows. So what is the best way to go about it? We have advice from Mari Staunton, our regular gardeners here. You're very welcome, Mari. And also Aideen Hiernig, who runs Blána Fianna walking tours on Inishman. Aideen, lovely to talk to you again.
Thank you very much.
Now, Mari, the wild gardener introducing wildflowers or a wild meadow, it's not something you can do overnight, and it can test your patience a little bit, can't it?
It certainly can. You see, things, it's not instant. This is just you just have to wait and prepare things by not mowing the lawn or keeping a strip of grass and letting it go wild is about the best way you can do it, because other than that, you're introducing maybe non-native seed from packets of wild seed that you perceive to be wild seed. So the patience comes into you putting in a wildflower called yellow rattle, and that suppresses the grass and allows the other beautiful wildflowers to come up. If you don't do that, then the actual grass is going to outcompete.
And how do we find that now, the yellow rattle?
Well, yellow rattle you can buy, but you have to introduce it into a bare piece of ground. So it has to adhere, the seeds have to adhere to the ground. So it's not enough just to sprinkle the seeds onto the grass. Mm-hmm. So just skim off a little bit of grass, put into your yellow rattle seed, and as they produce their own seed, and it'll go on and on and on. And it's like a little parasite of grass, manicured grass, if you like. So then you get the wildflowers. But then it's not just as simple as that, because then you have to, when the end of the summer comes, you have to strim it off and let the seed hit the ground and connect with the ground. And years ago, what they used to do, and they still do, is they bring in the sheep, and the sheep trample the ground, the seeds get connected to the earth, and then they will germinate again, and that's how it happens.
So the sheep's feet do
sheep's
the work.
Sheep's feet, so your feet will have to do that work.
Okay,
instead.
By trampling on
exactly.
it. And Aideen, do you agree that you need a bit of patience and you need to be a little bit brave, maybe test and do a small piece of the garden before you try and do a bigger meadow?
Oh, you need more than a bit of patience. I mean, we're all so guilty. We just want this instant gratification. You know, we want to decide we're going to save the planet, we're going to cure the biodiversity crisis, and we want to do it now. You know, we're all so guilty of that. But actually, it's so counterintuitive in a way. Just like Mari said, the best thing to do is to do nothing and to sit and wait. It can be torturous in a way, but it's really the best way to do it. Just sit and wait, keep your eyes open and just watch, because nature is tough out. I mean, everything we've put through, but if we just let it do its thing, it will come back on its own if we just give it the space it needs.
Mm-hmm. There's been a rebranding, hasn't there, of weeds, the Royal Horticultural Society now. They're not called weeds anymore.
No.
They're called resilient plants.
That's it, exactly. Resilient to lawnmowers and strimmers and all that sort of thing. Yeah, Aideen is exactly right. If you give it a chance, you will have a wildflower meadow. If you want to see wildflowers in a suburban, I suppose, area, Tyrrellstown House have the most beautiful meadow. You need to see it in the middle of the summer. And they did exactly that, put in the yellow rattle, and then as the grass got suppressed, in came the beautiful
wildflowers.
It took
off.
Oh, stunning. Mm-hmm. Absolutely stunning.
Is there any debate around all of this? I just saw comments from Alan Titchmarsh, who is Vice President of the Royal Horticultural Society. And he said, controversially, that he hoped the judges at the Chelsea Flower Show don't pick a wildflower garden this year. He said that people want to see the manicured gardening. They want to see something off the wall. The people who go to see the gardens at Chelsea, that's what they're looking for.
He's right in a way. They want to see that because they have small spaces and they're looking for an outdoor space that really is a room now. There isn't. The gardens aren't huge, but you have to have both. You have to be able to see both. Not everybody wants to see manicured. There are different people in this world and they want to see different things. I know where he's coming from, because it's a very difficult thing to put together a wildflower meadow in the middle of Chelsea Flower Show and have it looking perfect. It's not possible in a year, and it's not possible in 2 years. In fact, it's going to take many years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he went a bit further than that, though. He said, I do wonder about the dangers of pandering to current trends. And I just wonder, are there some gardeners who look at a wild meadow and go, that's not gardening?
Oh, there are. Oh, there absolutely are. I mean, you also have to understand what you're using your garden for. That's what we're talking about. A small area in a garden can be a wildflower area, or you have a pond and I don't have fish in our pond, so it's attracting plenty of pollinators. There's loads of frogs in it. You know, we have lots of things going on. So it's to have the balance right.
Doing a bit of both.
A bit of both. I mean, my dad would quite like to have a little lawn where he could, you know, do a bit of putting, you know, and lots of people use their gardens for different things. But if you have a native hedge and you have a wildflower meadow or a wildflower area, a bit of a pond, that sort of thing, you're doing all the right things. You know, but you can have both. You just need to separate them
and
a little bit.
Aideen, I'm sure you'd say we all have a responsibility now to have some sort of wild growth in our garden if we're lucky enough to have one.
I think so. But like, just like Mary said, you know, it's so funny. I'm thinking of my dad. My dad also likes to practice the bit of putting in the back garden. But he's also been convinced to leave a few spaces go wild too. And really, it took years and years to convince him to do it because, you know, people, it's not our fault in a way. You know, we've been susceptible to this propaganda for years and years of what a manicured lawn is, that that's what we should have. And this idea of having dandelions in your garden and bringing down the tone of the village, if you like. You know, we still have remnants of that.
Yeah, people would be embarrassed. We were talking about it here yesterday when we were talking about rewilding and re-wetting and the controversy around that at an EU level. But, you know, it was mentioned that the squared off hedges, that, you know, if you had overgrown hedges in rural areas, that was almost an embarrassment and still is.
Well, it's great that people's tune is changing now. But even now in our back garden, shall we say, like my family are from Enniscorthy town. So Dad has a closely cropped little bit of grass for the putting. And then just to the left of it, we've got a fine verge of grass that's been let wild for a few years. And we have amazing things that have just popped up in it. You know, we've even got a cuckoo flower, which we never had before, which is terrific in terms of biodiversity because that's the food plant of the orange-tipped butterfly, which is under serious pressure. All of our butterflies are, of course. But all of this happened just by leaving a bit of it go wild. You know, you can have your cake and eat it too if you have the space, you know, just ease the wildness in.
The cuckoo flower sounds lovely and a really valuable thing to have. And what else tends to pop up, Aideen, when you allow the garden to go wild?
So we've got our easy peasy things first. You know, everyone's going to see the dandelions and they will come in quick and fast because, of course, the dandelion seed heads, there's like 200 like flowers on the dandelion and each specific dandelion, every little what we think is a yellow petal is actually a flower. So when those seed head comes, even if you don't have kids blowing them and looking to see what time it is, they will spread like wildfire. And they're brilliant too, those seeds. So they'll spread. They'll create more dandelions, which is excellent food for bees, butterflies, and even for goldfinches, for birds. They depend on those seeds too. So that's a really top one is the dandelion. But you've also got things like self-heal, which is a lovely purple flower, our red clover. Fabulous. And these, again, they're resilient plants. They're so tough. They'll come in and they'll come back year after year and we can enjoy them.
What about the things we don't want, Mari? We don't want big, hardy thistles growing up, do we?
No, but that's the thing. There has to be a balance. And what'll happen in a wildflower meadow is, or, you know, when you put in a mix of seed, the dominant ones will come to the fore and they will kind of obliterate the other ones. So you have to kind of take out a few of those ones to allow the other ones to come up. I mean, remember years ago, you'd be in a field, you probably weren't meant to be in said field, but you were there and there was loads of cowslips and stuff.
Yes.
You don't see them very much anymore. Mm. And it's those sort of, I just love the look of cowslips and primroses and things like that. And to allow them back into your garden. The problem is with some mixes, there's a problem with black grass coming into the country and some of the wildflower mixes, and the farmers, the tillage farmers, are absolutely, you know, that'll be detrimental to them. So we have to watch. It's nearly better just to stop mowing a section and add in the yellow rattle rather than buying boxes and boxes of wildflowers. The wildflowers will come, the native wildflowers will come.
So you don't have to plant anything specifically?
Except for the yellow rattle if you want to suppress the grass.
So Aideen, is that's a warning then to be careful about what you are, if you do decide to shake some of those wildflower seed packs and you'll see them, just be careful where you're getting them from and where they have originated from.
Absolutely. Well, I'm a huge fan of the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan. And I mean, if you go to their website, it's crystal clear. They've got really easy to understand, really good information about how you can do your bit. And they're very wary of these wildflower seed packets. Now, there are some great Irish companies, of course, that sell them. But really, if you can afford to leave nature do its thing, if at all possible, you might get rarer flowers that won't be even in the packet. So for instance, with the pandemic and people weren't able to get out cutting the grass, one thing that we noticed in Ballybunion, where my family go on holidays, is these orchids started bursting out of the ground in places where we never saw orchids before. In the car park behind the swimming pool, of all places, bee orchids started popping up. You're not going to get a bee orchid in a packet of wildflower seeds, but you can just give nature a space and see what pops up. And you could get rare things that used to be native to that specific habitat. And we have to be careful of that too, because habitats support the plants that are meant to grow there, you know, not the plants that we think should grow there.
When do you put in the yellow rattle, Maria? A listener would like to know.
So, you can buy it, but you can collect the seed. If you know somebody that has it, you can collect the seed at the end of the summer and then you sprinkle it in the autumn. But again, you have to, I suppose, just lift up a bit of the sod so that it's connecting, the seed is connecting to the actual earth, not to the grass. And then that will start to flower next year and produce more seed. And then that seed blows back into that piece of land. Then you're already doing it.
Okay, but so you have to actually plant it as opposed to trampling it like the sheep do.
Yeah, you have to actually plant this one. Yeah.
Okay, a couple more. I have daisies and dandelions, but I've never seen a bee or a butterfly on those. However, they're gorging on all of the planted flowers.
Typical, isn't it? Yeah. Usually an open-faced flower is what bees and butterflies love. They're not particularly interested in bedding plants as a rule, you know. So if it's an open flower, if you look at anything with an open face where they can actually see the pollen in the centre, that's the ones they're looking for. But it's interesting that she says they're not on the daisies or
I know. Gas. Being very selective.
Very.
I love having a wilder garden, says this listener, but how do you keep rats and other undesirable things at bay? Are they specifically attracted to a wild garden?
Not really.
They're probably in our everyday.
Well, they are.
Manicured
they're not too far away from us. There was a bat found in a house just up the road from me this morning. Or last night when they closed the windows, there was a bat in the blinds.
Inside?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not much you can do about that.
No, not much you can do about that, exactly. So, so those things will happen. But I mean, wild grass isn't going to attract rats, that's for sure. Food left around the place might.
Yeah, here's someone who rewilded here in the West and it beats any manicured garden. Aideen, I'm sure you'd agree that it would beat any manicured garden.
I mean, I'm here with my granny in Limerick and she's got a beautiful manicured garden out the back. So I think there's room for both. You know, they both serve a different purpose. They both have their own kind of beauty, if that's not too much of a politician's answer.
Well, look, it's making me feel like summertime anyway, talking about it. Mari Staunton and Aideen Ní Shaoirnigh, and Aideen's business is Blána Fianna Walking Tours on Inishman. Thank you both. We'll take a break.
Thank you.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
A lot of people getting in touch about Letitia McCrudden, who is going to be doing her Leaving Cert in a few weeks. Safe to say people were really impressed by her. Jen says she's wonderful. All the best to her for her future. What an impressive young woman Letitia is, says another. I wish her all the very best. Letitia is some speaker. Put her in the Dáil now. Well, I was saying to her, I don't think, if that's her ambition, I don't think it'll be too long before we see her on a national political stage. And another, I was glued to the radio listening to Letitia. Absolutely wonderful. And it was just really nice to speak to somebody who is just starting out in life with such ambition. Another one on Evelyn's report from Donegal. Our son, who has autism, goes to liquid therapy every year. It's an unbelievable group that does so much for these kids. They love them. The crew that Tom has are brilliant. I can't thank them enough. Thank you very much for getting in touch. Now, in the headlines, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar says he or a senior minister will consider travelling to Inch in County Clare to discuss the concerns of local people over the accommodation of international protection applicants at holiday chalets. The Minister for Justice, Simon Harris, has spoken to the family of a teenage boy who was assaulted in Navan in County Meath on Monday. And voters in Northern Ireland are going to the polls today for elections to 11 councils, and we'll hear more about that as the results start to come in over the weekend. But that's all we have time for today. Thank you very much for listening. You can catch up on anything you might have missed on this morning's show on the RTE Radio app. A big thank you to the team, as always, here on the programme. It was produced today by Barbara Feeney. Ciarán Dunn was our researcher. Louise Kerr-Ross was our broadcast coordinator. And Tom Norton was on sound. Now it's time to head over to Louise.